You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, as we find ourselves in the process of preparing for Purim, already in other bays, already in the taste of concealment, already understanding the secret of Ad Delo Yada, already coming to terms with the fact that we don't know anything and that we're not going to know anything other than the secret of faith, it's time to prepare ourselves and to go deeper into the light of Purim with Rabbi Nachman. Now, Rabbi Nachman, very similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, is a light of concealment, is specifically when he is concealed, specifically when Moshe Rabbeinu has his patira, is there going to be a revelation of Moshe Rabbeinu within the heart of each and every Yid, the Nekudah of Moshe within the heart of each and every Yid, as we've spoken about. Like the Ma'onayim says that one cannot behold the burial place of Moshe because ultimately the burial place of Moshe rests at the Yechidah Shebelev, at the hiddenmost chamber of the heart, and one cannot stand upon the innermost chamber of their heart because it's at that place that the self empties out and it becomes unified and connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That place of Chibur, that place of the Levyasan, of the fish, the Mazal Adar Dagim, that remains concealed, it's specifically there that we get to taste its revelation. Haman HaRasha thought that Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and therefore it's a time to attack Klal Yisrael, because if the entire essence of Klal Yisrael is their ability to be the Das of Moshe, where each person sees their role as the unfolding process of Hashem's revelation in this world from the beginning of creation till the redemption itself, so if they lose sight of Moshe, then they're easily attacked. But what Haman HaRasha did not understand, that it's specifically within the ungraspability of Moshe's burial place that we truly come in contact with the absolute belief in the Das of Moshe that rests within us. If it's identifiable, if it's provable, if it's evidence-based, if I can locate the place where Moshe rests within me, then my mind will assume that the relationship that I have with the Pnimius of myself is contingent upon all of those circumstances. But it's specifically when all of the circumstances fall away and there is nothing that gives us accessibility to that place of Moshe Rabbeinu, to that place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's there that we open up our minds to realize that it's never been based on our actions. It's never been based on our attitudes. It's never been based on how we act. It's based on the fact that Hashem has chosen that we're mechubar to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Megillah. It's the Pur, Hu HaGoral. It's the recognition that I know absolutely nothing. And therefore, when I relinquish my attempt to know something, it's specifically there that I learn to have that thing by way of faith. It's by way of faith, emuna l'mala mitam v'das, above rational knowledge, that I come to connect with Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's specifically the death of Moshe, the departure of Moshe, the concealment of Moshe, that enables Moshe Rabbeinu to be revealed in each and every fabric of existence. And like Moshe Rabbeinu, like the tzaddikim ha-mitim, the yichidei hadoros who go down towards the depths of concealment to reveal the light that's hidden there so that Klal Yisrael can come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, look, we've taken your concealment and we've crowned you with it. We've given you beautiful crowns that could have never even been revealed in times of revelation. We've built binyanim mifuarim and we've built beautiful revelations and Torah and Kedusha and Emunah and self-sacrifice and Avodas Hashem specifically from within concealment. We make those crowns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we bring them back to him, specifically from concealment. That's not without Moshe. We can't do that without Moshe. We can't do that without Mordechai. We can't do that without Esther. We can't do that without Rabbi Nachman. We can't do that without our tzaddikim. We can't do that without Nishmas Yisrael, that's Mushrash in the Tzaddik Yisod Olam. And therefore, just as Moshe Rabbeinu descends down into concealment in his burial place so as to create the hope that Bnei Yisrael have in him, and the connection to Hashem that we have through Moshe Rabbeinu, through the Hiskashras to the Osios, so too does Mordechai HaTzadik come down in the times of Shushan Abira. The Tzadik descends down to reveal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how it's accessible to the Tzadik within each and every person. The Tzadik awakens the Tzadik within us, and Mordechai comes down to Shushan Abira like Moshe Rabbeinu came down to help the Jewish people after Chet HaEgel. And so too in the Torah of Rabbi Nachman goes down, down, down. Rabbi Nachman goes down, and what we have from Rabbi Nachman's revelations are a drop in the bucket relative to the true meaning behind his words. Each Torah and Likutei Maran that came down to us through the Tzaddik Rabbi Nosson, all of the Shmuels, all of the writings are all Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means that they're inaccessible other than that one particular point in the year where the Kohen Gadol is Nichnas Lefnai Ulefnim. Like Shir HaShirim, that's Kodesh HaKadoshim that one does not have accessibility to except at that singular point where one falls in, where one finds themselves in. And nevertheless, in spite of the fact that this Torah is a Torah of Atikas Tima, a Torah of ancient days that only stands to be revealed in the future, to reveal just as we know that the entirety of Torah's Moshe still rests unexplained and unrevealed, and all of the Tamei Torah that are going to be Neskala La'asid Lavo in the Sudos of La'asid Lavo, where Hashem reveals our Das. But now the Torah remains a concealed book, but there's a Hitznoitzitz, there's a light that shines forth from the teachings that we're able to grasp. Now there are some teachings in Likutei Maran that are clear, or there's a clearer path, and there's more meforshim as to what we're trying to grasp in it. There are other shorter Torahs where Rabbi Nachman allowed himself to convey the Torah b'derech sod, as if hinting to the fact that ultimately the entirety of the Sefer is razin derazin, is yichudim, are methods of connecting to the osios and being mechubar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and revealing or ein on milvado, to the degree that each Torah on a certain level could be mechayim mesim if understood properly, certainly internally. Certainly internally, each Torah in the Likutei Maran is a medicine that has been created, meisheshes meibereshes v'koidem, that it was the Or HaGonuz L'Tzadikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed to be secreted into reality through the neshamos of the Yechidei HaDoros, for this anciently new Torah to come down to give us hope in moments of hopelessness, to give us strength in places of weakness. And there are certain Torahs where Rabbi Nachman just lays the words in front of us, not necessarily explaining much. And we can search the Meforshim, we can search the Talmidim to see exactly where the insight is to be gained from this Torah. Nevertheless, there's still a Segula Nifla, like any Sefer in Ruach HaKodesh, like the Zohar HaKadosh, like the Svarim of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Talmidim of the Gra's writings, the Rashash writing, the Ramchal's writings, the Leshem, the Rebbe Rashab, all of the writings of true Tzadikim, there's an or that comes about by simply reading the words. Reading the words, looking at the letters, finding the light of the tzaddik in that book, finding the light of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, finding the light of Mordechai HaTzaddik and Esther HaMalka in the Megillah itself, finding the light of Rabbi Nachman in his Torah, finding the light of ourselves within our book, which is our own lives. It gives us the ability to take the Torah as it's revealed to us and try and understand in our own particular way what it might mean. Now, Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita writes in his Biur on Sanhedrin, I believe it's Daf Savdi Ches Amad Aleph, is that in truth, like all tzaddikim who emulate Moshe and are trying to be like Moshe, especially the true tzaddikim, especially the Yechidei HaDoros, especially Mordechai HaTzaddik, especially Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga, Schus Yogan Aleinu, Nachum Levei Mokor Chochma, the light of Yisoid Da'aba, the light of Purim, the Hiskalis of the tzaddik, Lamatam Yasar Tfachim. And so, anytime we have a real tzaddik, they orient themselves towards Moshe Rabbeinu. What we're told about Moshe Rabbeinu is Ish Asher Ruach Bo. He was a man who had spirit within him. And Chazal tell us that what that means is that he had the ability to be Hoylech Keneged Ruach V'Ruach Shekol Echad V'Echad. That Moshe Rabbeinu, as a man of spirit, as a man of breath, he had the capacity of identifying the direction and the way to bring about breath to each and every other person, to be machaving his words to the ruach of each person. Like they said by the tzaddikim, that the chiddush of being by the tzaddik and hearing Torah from the tzaddikim ha'amitim is that it seems that they're speaking directly to each and every person, in spite of the fact that each and every person feels that way. The secret of the unity in the whole and the unity of the parts, how the prat and the klal, how I can be the entirety of existence and at the same point, the other person is also the entirety of existence, and there's enough godliness for each and every person, and there's enough of the tzaddik for each and every person, and it's the secret of shakai, which is the light of yesod, which is the light of tzaddik, a sense of enoughness. And if it means that there's a sense of enoughness, that means that each and every person has enough of what they need in terms of their kalim of understanding to grasp the words of the tzaddikim. If the words of the tzaddikim mean anything above, they have to mean everything below as well. If there's any moment throughout the unfolding of history from the highest point to the lowest point where the light of the tzaddik is not accessible and the Torah of the tzaddik is not accessible, then on a certain level it's a pagam, it reveals a blemish or a mistake within the Torah of the tzaddik. The Torah of the Tzaddikim HaMitim need to apply to every person, no matter where they find themselves, as they understand it. Ish Asher Ruach Bo, each and every person according to their own understanding. And when we learn the Likutei Maran, each and every person has their own understanding, and that comes with the microsystems and the macrosystems that influence the method of reading and hermeneutics and the Yud Gimel Midah Shatorah Nidreshos Behem. So everything I'm saying is B'derech Efshar. b'derech efsher de efsher, because it's going to be based on words that Rabbi Nachman himself did not write. But Ashreinu Matel Chalkeinu, that we have Rabbi Nassan and Yeshal Milismoich, that without Rabbi Nassan we would have absolutely nothing. And not only do we have Rabbi Nassan, but we have the Talmidim of Rabbi Nassan. We have all of the Doiris and the Hishtalshalis of Breslov, to the degree that in spite of the fact that it appeared at first glance to be a Toiter Hasidim and a Toiter Torah, dead Hasidim with a dead Torah that couldn't be understood, in truth has been revealed to be Adarabba Ibcha Mestabra, that specifically in the death of Moshe, that Moshe is born, and we have Rabbi Nassan, and we have all of the Talmidim, and Dor Vi Yishuvu Hena, we have Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman, and we have Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender and Sich Sarfei Kodesh, Ad, in our generation, where we have the Tzaddik, we have the Rebbe, we have all of the Talmidim Amitim of Rabbi Nachman, we have all of us. Basov Kulam Yu Breslov, each and every person has to see to themselves as if the words of Rabbeinu were not spoken for anybody other than themselves. Until the moment that I'm hearing them, there was no proper understanding of them. Again, with the healthy balance of realizing that that's just the playfulness that is allowed to me in the process of interpretation. Not to say that this is the essential meaning of the text, nor is it to detract from each and every person's ability to read the text as they see fit without trying to claim that this is the essence of what the text means. That belongs to Rabbi Nassim, and even there, it's not rooted in an absolute certainty, but rather it's the application of the Torah to every possible degree, because only then can we ensure that we truly understood the application of Rabbi Nachman's Torah. Because in truth, the only thing to do if you're trying to now continue the path of Rabbi Nachman's Torah is to do what Rabbi Nassan did in Lukutei Halachos, which is everything. Lukutei Halachos is a taste of Gan Eden, because of what it represents is the Hispashtes Ha'in Sofiut of the Torah itself. Now, the Torah is really ultimately a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it unfolds ad infinitum. Rabbi Nassan's unique capacity to maintain the central point while deviating away from the center point, seemingly in extensions of circles and circles and circles of seemingly incidental information, yet at every moment, at any moment he so desired, he would return back to the very central point of the Torah, illuminating the heart with the revelation that, oh my God, every single sugya in the world has all been teaching me this one thing. Because Rabbi Nachman's Torah is all, it's the Nekuda Pnimius, and this is true for all of the Tzaddikim, especially the Tzaddikei Yechidei Hadoros, that each Torah contains everything, and a person should have the capacity, in accordance with the Chai Klalim of Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman, the rules and regulations and the models of how to learn the Kutta Maran, a person should be capable of living their entire life with one Torah. We know that we live our entire lives with Resh Pei Beis, with Nekudos Tovos. There's an entire generation that only lives based on a Torah that Rabbi Nachman gave, which is the fact that there's an irreducible amount of good in each and every moment. All the more so each person can find their own Torah with the humble trust that the way I understand the Torah is the way that the Torah is meant to be understood in this particular moment. And so we're looking Be'ezras Hashem in Lukut Maran Tinyana, in the second volume of Lukut Maran, Torah Ayin Dalet. I'm going to try and be mitzamsim myself so that we can focus on the Torah with a practical outcome, a practical outlam for the Yomim Haboyim Aleinu Letoiva Be'ezras Hashem, Yimei Geula that are Karev to Geula, Geula Hamakusha to Geula, Shnei Shlavei HaGeula, and to read the words of the Tzaddik and to ultimately try and have a connection. So I'm going to try and hold myself back from deviating about why it's Torah Ayin Dalet in the second volume of Lukut Maran, and it's the second chelik of Das and the Eidus and the second Das that's removed from original Das, the need to testify to something that one doesn't even know anymore. It's two steps removed from Rabbi Nachman. It's Tinyana, it's the second expression of his Torah, and it's the Eidus, which means that it's just a testimony upon something that once happened, and it's specifically in this two-step distance away from the seemingly connection to the fount at which the Torah was coming forth, the Nachal Nevi. It's specifically here that we're going to uncover the secret of the testimony, the aid, the ayin hagadoyla of Shema, and the Dalet hagadoyla of Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Yichud that's Neskala specifically from that place of concealment, from closing off the eyes, from closing my eyes to reality and listening to the inner voice of aid, which is the secret of Gal Aid, which is the secret of Lag Ba'omer, v'chulei. We're not going to do that. Okay. Zokt Rabbi Nachman. Acher Purim Karim Parshas Para. After Purim, we come and read the Parsha of the Para Aduma, of the process of purifying a person from the impurity of death. Shehi Hachana LePesach. And Parshas Para, ultimately, the purification from the death and the pollution of death, is a preparatory stage for Pesach. Why? Ki Parshas Para Karim Kedei Shehi Nisharim L'Tahir Mitumas Meis Kedei Shehi Tahirim L'Asos HaPesach. Because the purpose for the parah was to refine us and to purify us from the stench of death that had descended upon the individual, both physically, metaphysically, spiritually, psychologically, on all levels. And this purification process and the refinement away from that death was ultimately so that a person can come properly prepared into the world of Pesach, which is the Hakravas HaKorban. Meaning to say that Hakravas HaKorban, a Pesach orientation, a Pesach experience, demands a certain element of preparation. You can't just run into Pesach. You need to be purified. You need to be purified. And again, we're not going to focus right now on what Parah represents. Parah represents the thought that I knew something and ultimately coming to terms with the fact that I know nothing. And so the purification from that death, from that stench of death, from that feeling that I know what loss is and I know what presence is, I know what revelation is and I know what concealment is, I know what's real and I know what's not real. All of those things and those deeply held assumptions about reality, about ourselves, about other people, that impact so greatly the way that we orient ourselves to the events of our lives. The prescribed notions of thinking that create the mournful process of death and the joyful process of life. Parah comes to purify us from the pollution of death, from the despondency that falls upon an individual when, in accordance with their prescribed forms of knowledge, they've come to the conclusion that they're impure. They've come to the conclusion that there's something broken. Parah Aduma, the Tahara process that comes about through Parah Aduma, is that Parah Aduma represents the unfathomability of all things. Shlomo HaMelech, who thought he knew everything, who thought he had a very clear vision of what reality was, he comes to realize, Amarti Echakmeh v'hiru chayka mimeni. I thought I was wise, and then I've come to understand that it's far from me. I don't know anything at all. Hirachok mimeni menachem eshev nashi. I don't have that graspability. I don't have that control over the narrative. And it's Parah Aduma that dislodges him from his assumptions. And to be dislodged from one's assumptions is the purification from death. The purification from death is, as the tzaddikim have always pointed out, a refinement in the way that we look. Vayenachem Hashem, the shorash of nechama, the shorash of the answer that comes to confront that question of departures and absence, v'chule, is ultimately Vayenachem Hashem, and Hashem changed his mind. There's a shifting of thinking. There's a reorientation of thought that enables us to purify ourselves from the burden of death that has covered us over. And so in order to purify a person from that clouded vision that sees things as being lost or sees things as being absent or sees things as being completely irretrievable, we have to purify ourselves from that place. We have to purify ourselves from being stuck in Raglea Yardumavas, in that place of death, having been kicked out of the chet, kicked out of the garden, entering into that place of death. We have to purify ourselves from that by coming to terms with the fact that we know absolutely nothing, and only then can we come and bring the Korban Pesach. So we see that Parah is a hakdama to Pesach itself, that one must refine themselves. One must clarify themselves in order to come and face HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to truly say that I'm free. That I am truly free, that I don't have anything that holds me down, that there's no master in my life, that there's nothing in this world that's holding me away from you. A person has to be in that mindset in order, theoretically, to encounter Pesach. U'betchilahu b'chinas pur. Okay, so what precedes this Parah? What precedes this process of the purification of death that comes about by way of realizing that I know absolutely nothing? The dislodgement from the security of my deeply held beliefs and my schematic thoughts and perceptions and cognitive distortions and narratives about others and the world and myself that have so sturdily kept me stuck within my particular lane, preventing me from growing and preventing me from falling at the same time. And then comes along the Parah Amarti Echakmeh v'hiru chayka mimeni. It's Metaher es HaTmeim and Metameh es HaTahorim, that the reorientation of narrative is a difficult process for anybody, no matter which way you look at it, no matter what the status of the person is. The ability to realize that I don't have the story as neatly held and tightly held and wound as I thought I did. That redemptive mindset of coming to know that I don't know anything and reorienting myself towards the new beginning of Pesach is preceded by the Pur, is preceded by Purim. Because Purim is the thing that helps a person come to the secret of Parah Aduma, which is really, on Purim we come to realize that, oh my God, I thought I knew, I don't know anything. And then Parah is really incorporating that reality into ourselves, we realize that, yeah, I pashut don't know anything. I thought I knew something, but I don't know what's up. I don't know what's down. All I know is the path that's rooted in front of me and the next right thing to do in accordance with Hariyu LaHashem Kol Ha'aretz, the halachic orientation that a person binds themselves in this world, or the right path that a person uncovers for themselves. That begins with the poor. That begins with the randomness. That begins with the recognition that you thought you were chosen for a particular reason. You thought that there's some dependency inherent in the relationship, but poor reveals that it's completely independent. It's a random thing. It's a completely random thing that is not based on anything but the raffle itself. So what we have is that Para leads to Pesach, and what leads to Para is the secret of Purim. B'tchila hayu b'chinas Pur, in the beginning there was the aspect of Purim, ki Purim al shem ha-Pur, because the shoresh of Purim is ultimately this unknowability, the revelation that everything that I thought I was basing my relationship and connection to the inherent goodness of myself on, and all of the dependencies and all of the considerations and preconceived actions that I need to be engaged in order to conceive of myself as beautiful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I let go of that. I come to realize that it's all just a raffle. It's all just a raffle. As we say, every time a person takes their children to learn in father-son learning, in that orientation, there's two modes of revealing the Torah. There's the revelation of Torah from Shavuos, and there's the revelation of Torah from Purim. The revelation of Torah from Shavuos is learning Torah, trying to understand the Torah, seeing the beauty of Torah. And then the revelation of Torah of Purim, of Hadar Kiblu B'me'ach HaShverosh, is the ruthlessness of the raffle. A child coming to terms very quickly with the fact that another child won just because another child won, not because of any other circumstances other than the randomness of it. Now, Avada, it's a random precision that reveals to us and dislodges us from our need to know everything. But ultimately, it's that process of Purim that leads to the purification process of Para. V'achar kach nasa Para. And then Pur, this unknowability, this recognition that nothing is based on what I thought it was, and v'nahapochu, and I don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai, that leads me to the process of Para, which teaches me very deeply, Amarti achakmeh v'yirachaykim imeni, and I need to dislodge myself from all of my previously held conceptions of what I know absolutely about the world, others, and myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I need to open myself up to the possibility of learning again as a child, and then I can begin the process of Pesach. I have to come to maturity. I can't come with my lichluch. I can't come with that stench of death. I can't come with my broken bones into Pesach. I need to be purified. And that purification process takes place in the two-stage destabilization of the Pur, which is coming to realize I don't know anything, and then the Para, which is the integration of the recognition that I don't know anything, and it's specifically there that I'm going to have the purification process. But again, the not knowing anything is just preparatory, theoretically, at this stage, to the coming to Pesach, which is then where I get to know. On Pesach, I get to know, because I'm a clean vessel, I'm pure, I don't have chametz, I've gotten rid of everything, I have fully let go of all of the things I need to let go of, and I'm here in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm ready to be Pesach yet. Again, the orientation towards Pesach being that place where I'm pure, and I am able to start again with a clear conscience, and that there's nothing bothering me, and I know that I am doing my very best. That's the process of Purim to Para to Pesach. And so once we see, as Rabbi Nachman says, ki gam Purim u'bevada hi luchav derech lePesach. So what we said in the beginning is that Para leads to Pesach, but now understanding that Purim leads to Para, Rabbi Nachman is saying that in truth it's Purim Para Pesach. That Purim is the recognition of not knowing anything at all, ad lo yada ben Arham l'baruch Mordechai, realizing that what I thought was up is down and what is down is up. Then comes along the process of Para, where I integrate that and I actually allow it to dislodge me from my previously held beliefs about myself, my previously held self-limiting beliefs about myself, about others and the world, the negative framework in which I view things, and the purification process from the death-bringing thought processes that hold us down by the end of the year and that are killing us and swallowing us up and creating a sense of possible hopelessness, God forbid. We go through that process of the Para of Amarti Achakmeh V'Hirachaykim Yimeni. The only way of healing an egel is coming to terms with the realization that I knew absolutely nothing. Amarti Achakmeh V'Hirachaykim Yimeni. It's not my fault. As Moshe Rabbeinu came to the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, it's not their fault. As Mordechai Atzadeh came in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, they didn't really mean to eat from the Suda V'Achashverosh, it's not their fault. As Rabbi Nachman came down to teach Klal Yisrael that, no, they're not really Miyayish, Ein Shem Yesh Ba'ilam Klal, they're not really sad because the only thing that exists is Simcha. The tzaddikim come down to reveal this place, this redemption, and so it goes. So now we see that Purim then leads to Paro, which is the acceptance of this truth, and then we come to Pesach. Ki gam Purim u'bevada hiluch derech lePesach. V'zeh b'chinas sfoisav shoshanos notvas mor oiver. And so if Purim and Pesach are inherently connected now, because Purim leads to Pesach, and we see in the hermeneutical gestures of Rabbi Nachman Kavyachol, we see that if something leads to something, so they are seen as unified together, because the derech and the destination are ultimately part and parcel of the same thing, especially from a Purim Moichen, as we're going to see. And so if this is true, that Purim leads to Paro, which leads to Pesach, then theoretically we should be able to find this in the Torah, because Rabbi Nachman is not making up Chidushim and then finding Ramazim to them in the Torah. Rabbi Nachman is reading the Torah, seeing the connections between ideas, because Rabbi Nachman understood that the Torah is each and every letter, each and every tzimtzum of the Oisios Machimos is a tzimtzum gavoa, is a tzimtzum mufla, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals an infinite potency of energy within each and every level that can be interpreted infinitely, ad infinitum, in the secret of the Torah of Atikas Dima'a. And not that any level of interpretation gets dislodged as a result of another level of interpretation, but rather it's a process of Habashas HaPirushim, that one Bior rests upon another, rests upon another, rests upon another, until we extend the palace of Torah with each and every layer of meaning remaining as steadfastly significant as the ones that come afterwards. But Rabbi Nachman saw the connection between Purim and Pesach in the Torah, and therefore it had to be that there was a process in which Purim leads to Paro, leads to Pesach. And so the pasuk is, what's the pasuk? Svaisasav shoshanim noitvais moreover. The lips are like roses that are with the pleasantness descending from them. Svaisav zebchinas Pesach Pesach. What does it mean, Pesach? Pesach, we know, is the beginning of speech. It's the beginning to purify myself from that death-bringing speech that was polluted by my failed narratives and the things that beat me down over the year. And then I go through the Parah process. I go through the Purim process. I realize I don't know anything. I realize that all of my language was a babble, and I enter into that Golus HaDibor. I realize I have nothing to say. I enter into that place of shtoik kach ala b'machshava. And then Pesach, as we said, that refinement where we have to purify ourselves before beginning again, before meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu again for the first time, we have to have gotten rid of all of our babbling and all of our stuttering and all of our failed language. And so we see that Pesach is the secret of the mouth being opened, but Shoshana is Esther. Shoshana, the mouth, the mushel of the mouth, is the language of Esther, meaning to say that the Dibor that comes about on Pesach only comes about through the Shoshana of Esther, Kamuva Bezorah, Kadosh B'Kisvei Arizal, the Shoshana Gematria Esther. Esther represents Malchus, concealment, and specifically from that concealment that the lips are going to be opened. So we see that Purim, we see Esther Amalka is hinted to as the process that will eventually lead to the goal of Pesach, which is the opening of the mouth. And Noitvois Mor Oiver, as well as this pleasantness, the pleasant fragrance that descends down, Zebachinus Mordechai. This is the aspect of Mordechai at Tzadik, Mar Dror. Mordechai Tzadik is referred to as Mar Dror, as the pleasant smells, as the redemption and the freedom, Lashon Cheres, a language of freedom, Bechinas Cheres al Pesach. And how do we get to the Cheres of Pesach? We come to the Cheres of Pesach through the secret of Mar Dror. So we see, as Rabbi Nachman pointed out, that Paro, the recognition that I don't know anything at all, leads me to now be able to let go of not knowing anything, to let go of all of my hangups, all of my mistakes, and then come to Pesach as a clean person, clean from all difficulty, free, and now I am able to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it goes Purim, which is Esther and Mordechai, as we see in the Pasuk, leads to Parah, which then leads to Pesach itself. The Al-Kain, and Rabbi Nachman then goes further, and he says, not only can Esther and Mordechai be found in the elements of the opening of the mouth and the freedom of Pesach, meaning to say that the opening of the mouth and the fragrance of redemption that comes about from Mordechai and Esther are the Hechetimses, the Drachim, in which we get to the opening of the mouth is associated with Esther, and the pleasant freedom that comes about associated with Mordechai. But there's even going to be a hint within the parsha of Pesach itself to the secret of Purim. Va'alkein siruv shel Purim meruzim bePesach, and therefore we see that there's a hint to Purim, the word Purim itself, within the parsha of Pesach. Why? Because the pasuk says shivas yamim toichal matzos kasher tzivisicha lemoed chodesh ha'aviv, that for 7 days you're going to eat matzos as I've commanded you on the holiday of in the springtime of the world. In the holiday of the springtime, kibo yatzata mimitzrayim, because it's a commemoration of the time that you left Mitzrayim, v'lo yira'u p'nei rekam, and nobody will see my face empty-handed, meaning to say that when they come up for oil regel, they're going to be ready for the korban. Mimitzrayim v'lo yira'u p'nei rekam, roshei tevos mem vav yud pei resh, spell out Purim. And so we see not only are Mordechai and Esther hinted to in the secret of Pesach, which is the opening of the mouth and the refinement of speech on Pesach, as well as the freedom of thought, mind, and action of Pesach, that both of those come about through the destabilization of Purim, which leads to the drawing down and investing that destabilized place and not knowing anything and leaning into acceptance of Amarti Echakme Vehi Rechoykem Imenu and the secret of the Chukah, of that I don't know anything at all, then I come to clean myself from the pollution of death, and then I can come to Pesach. That's hinted to in Mi Mitzrayim v'lo yiru p'nei rekam. As Rabbi Nachman says, Rosh Tevos Purim. Why? Why is Purim hinted to over here? Ki Purim hu derech lePesach, because Purim is the way that we get to Pesach. Sheyu yecholim lihiyos nesar mechametz. Because at least in accordance to this first teaching, the first stance of this Torah, the process is that Purim leads to Pesach, and therefore there's a hint of Purim and Pesach. Why? Because Pesach is the goal, which is being clean from chametz. Being clean from chametz, being clean from anger, being clean from resentments, being clean from hangups, being clean from all of the things that make me human. All of the things that make me human, all of the things that make me a bar misa, someone who lives with a reality of death awareness, of ups and downs and losses and anxiety. That's the chametz, as Rabbi Nachman describes throughout, which all express themselves ultimately in the ease towards anger and the frustrations and the resentments that come about when a person doesn't look at themselves, at the world, or other people properly. When a person overasserts themselves, when there's overassertion of the self, there's by nature resentments that emerge, and then the anger gets turned inwards and it becomes depressive and it keeps a person stuck in all manners of stuckness. And so in order to clean ourselves from chametz, we have to go through Purim. Now, the entire orientation of this half of the Torah is that Pesach is the ideal. Pesach is the ideal. A person starts with Pesach. What it means to start with Pesach is to be purified, to be able to bring the korban. It means to be able to clean yourself from chametz completely. It means to be considered free from all things. It's a place of moichin the godless. To start with Pesach is to start with das, with knowing. And Purim is the process, and Parah is the process where a person gets rid of all of their not knowing, gets rid of all of the destabilization, gets rid of the reality of I don't know anything whatsoever. I come to terms with myself fully. I let go of any of the problems that I live with, and I'm purely ready to start again with a moichin of Pesach. And for that reason, we can try and understand the remez, mi mitzrayim velo yireyu p'nei reikam, is Rosh Tevos Purim. Because from this perspective of finding Purim as a preparation to Pesach, the whole thing is that through the process of Purim, you will not arrive empty-handed in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Empty-handed over here means that the Oyla Regel are going to bring their korbanos, just as the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to bring the korban Pesach, which needed tahara, or to be nizhar mechametz, or to be in a state of chirus. That the process of Purim is the process of velo yiru as panei reikam. This is how you won't see my face empty-handed. You won't mess up on Pesach because you go through Purim. So Purim is just a hecha timsa of cleaning oneself out so that they can come and stand in front of Purim, stand in front of Pesach in a clarified way and be a free person who has no more chametz and a person who is able to open their mouth and speak. And therefore Purim is still oriented to the process of you're just purifying yourself so that you can be truly worthy of bringing that korban. Now from this mindset, the Pesach orientation is that I need to be fully present in order to serve Hashem. I need to be fully on. I have to be purified. I have to let go of all my cognitive distortions. I have to be truly certain to the degree that certainty is available or knowledge is available, that my freedom is real, that my authenticity is there, that I am the best that I can possibly be. And only then can I enter into a mindset of Pesach. Only then can I enter into a mindset of Pesach, and that's where a person starts serving Hashem. Purim, on the other hand, represents the time where a person is not yet ready. It's the time of working through the issues, the times of coming to terms with the fact that I don't know anything. The chaos and the confusion, v'shushan abira hayanavoicha, the confusion and the wondering and the achila from the suda v'achashverosh and the hishtachvus lepesel and the process of the nesira and the divestment of previously held beliefs of support and connectivity and the descent away into not knowing. That process of Purim, that's the stage of impurity that only leads up to Para. And then, if you're worthy, you'll be able to be truly present with Hashem, with your korban for Pesach. Pesach demands that we bring our korban with us. Pesach demands that we have no more chametz. Pesach demands that I am truly here ready. But again, the Pesach mindset also creates the notion that my relationship with Hashem is dependent and contingent upon cleaning my house from Pesach. And being a fully free person, and being able to open my mouth, and being tahor from tumas misa. Starting from Pesach means that I need to do all of these things in order to even enter in to the gateways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, God forbid, can be a very defeating teaching. Because if I think that my relationship with Hashem is dependent upon anything, If I think that I need to be purified from death and I need to have a real orientation of freedom and I need to have cleaned out all of the chametz and I need to have my mouth wide open in order to start the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then many, many people are never going to find it. Many people, all of us, I could only speak for myself, will never have any courage whatsoever to enter into the gates of Kedusha because we are fully aware of how far we are from each and every one of those conditions of Tahara for Pesach. There's no chayrus. There's enslavement. There's the elements of stuckness that each person carries. There's the intoxication with the Tumah of Misa. Far from the purification of the Tumah of Misa, we live in a space of Misa. Rabbi Nachman himself said it, it's Gehenim. That's Gan Eden at the very same point, because as Leshem says, they're Hainu Hach, they're all just the scholars of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this world is saturated with Tumah Misa ever since being kicked out of Gan Eden. That original split, that original tear, that original emergence of the possibility of Misa. Adam Rishon's first encounter is being placed into a depth of slumber that was akin to Misa. So Tara from the Tumah of Misa, Tara from the knowledge that everything is for the good, Tara from the knowledge and the deep belief of Tchiyas HaMeisim, far, far as far can be from that. Tara from Pesach, from the ability to open the mouth, words are just mumbles. Words are just attempts to assert oneself over and over. A language, as Rabbi Nachman describes, that comes from doubts and it comes from insecurity and it comes from the need to self-aggrandize and it comes from the place of deficiency that needs to be filled. So purity of language, the ability to say Pesach in order to be a Yid who can stand in front of Hashem on Pesach and say, I'm here, far as far can be. Free. There's no freedom. The semblance of freedom on Shabbos Kodesh that emerges into a person's life is a hitznoitzis, it's of an aura of la'asid lavo when a person empties themselves out. But other than that, descending down into the enslavement of the self and the intoxication of self and the fears and the concerns, who can say that they're free? And to clean the house from chametz, to be truly clean from that place of anger and self-righteousness and self-importance and self-aggrandizement and frustration and rigidity and carelessness and lazy, all of the stuff, all of the chametz, who can say that they've truly cleaned their house of chametz? And so therefore, if Pesach is where we start from, and Purim is just the preparation to get to Pesach, then it's going to be very difficult for a person to truly feel that they're righteous enough to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to enter into the gates of Kedusha. But here's where Rabbi Nassin brings down Rabbi Nachman's teaching into an even deeper place. In parentheses, v'pasak ba'emsa ha'inyan v'lo gilo yoser. Rabbi Nachman stopped in the end of this teaching, and he did not reveal anymore. And the Torah continues, and it says, ki b'tchila hayu kol ha'aschalos me'pesach. In the beginning, all of the beginnings began from Pesach. Ve'al kein kol ha'mitzvos heim zeicher l'tzias Mitzrayim. Ve'achshav, ... parentheses, v'lo siyim. That in the beginning, as we said, all of the beginnings began from Pesach. You had to go through Purim and Para to get to the place of beginning from a mindset of Pesach, which is beginning with a clarified vision of knowing exactly who I am, of having gotten rid of all of the chametz, having been purified completely, with no more of my personal conditions and no more of the human frailty of it all, and all of my lichluch. None of that. I start from Pesach, the Alkain, and therefore all of the mitzvos are Zeicher Letzias Mitzrayim, because the mitzvos, the orientation of that korban, the dvarim hatluyim bo, the actions that I feel my relationship with Hashem is dependent upon, that perspective begins with Pesach. Pesach is a time of mitzvos. Pesach is a time of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and saying this is what I am ready to do, and this is what I am going to do. Leich teich acharei b'minbar, bitul adas, in order to accomplish the ma'aseh mitzvos, to build oneself up one step after another, to come to shleimus, to the degree that a human being is capable of coming to the experience of shleimus, which comes when I accept that I can't be shalim. But Pesach is that object orientation towards my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, where it's dependent on purity of death, and dependent on freedom from chametz, and dependent on ma'aseh mitzvah, and dependent on reduction of kas, v'chulei v'chulei v'chulei. And that used to be where all of the beginnings began from. And therefore, I had to spend my whole life scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and fasting and breaking myself and purifying myself and coming to terms with my shiflus and not knowing, so that I can finally come and do a mitzvah properly, so that I can be a lishma person. That place of my inherent dependent relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ve'achshav ... v'lo siyim. But that was then, says Rabbi Nachman. That was only then. It used to be that a person had to start from Pesach. It used to be that a person at the start from being their best. It used to be that a person at the start from that place where I know that there is nothing wrong. And I know with certainty that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. And I know with absolute certainty that things are going to be okay. And I have bitachon amiti, and I have amuna amiti, and I have no sveikos, and I have no bilbulim, and I have no questions, and I have no boredom, v'chule v'chule. It used to be that that's how it was. It used to be that that's where the beginnings came from. But v'achshav, dat, 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 v'lo siyim, v'achshav, but now, But now, at this point, unhaint, as Rabbi Nachman said, at this point, today, dot, 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 and he didn't finish. So what is happening here is the most significant part of the Torah. Because over here, we just oriented ourselves to a whole mahalach of Avodas Hashem, where the purification and refinement process precedes the entrance into the gates of Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Nachman has just, in the Purim moment of the Torah, transformed it on its head and said, that's no longer a pickle, but because now the process of beginning is different. Ve'achshav, dat, 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 ve'lo siyim. Ve'achshav, and now, and he didn't finish. Now, it is fundamental to the entire notion that Rabbi Nachman could not have written Purim. The same way as Rabbi Nachman said, and Rabbi Nassan wrote, Pasak be'emsa inyan ve'lo gila yoser. This notion of an unfinished product, this notion of a Torah that's not finished, this notion of printing something that's not finished, instead of erasing something that's not finished, is the very spitz nekuda of Purim itself. From a Pesach perspective, if it's not finished, it's not done. If it's not perfect, it's not okay. If I'm not pure and I'm not clean and I'm not this and I'm not that, then it's not worthy of being printed. I'm not ready to be a Pesach Yid. But a Purim Yid is the dafka, the inyan of Pasak be'emsa inyan velo gila yoter. That he stopped, he revealed and he stopped and he did not reveal more. Megillas Esther will always be concealed. There will always be an element of concealment. Achti Achashverosh Anan. We're still slaves of Achashverosh. Pasak Be'emsa. It wasn't a full geula. It wasn't a full geula. We didn't fully redeem ourselves. Esther Malka is still with Achashverosh. Pasak Be'emsa Inyan Velo Gila Yoser. And he did not reveal more. This is the point of inflection. This is the pivot point where instead of now thinking that we have to be Pesach Yedin where everything is perfect and finished, Rabbi Nachman himself says, Pasak be'emsa inyan velo gila yoser. Rabbi Nachman mimics this very thing that we're going to have to encounter, the notion of starting something and not finishing it, the notion of being a yid in process of growth and then stopping, the notion of moving forward and then getting somehow arrested in the development of it. And then after we accept the fact that the notion that it's not finished is printed in the finished product, the lo siyim, he did not finish, the lo gila yoser, that is the moment of inflection where a person says, you know what? If I'm going to try and be a Pesach Yid and start from Pesach, I'll never be able to do that because I'm never going to be finished. It's only when I accept the fact that I am an unfinished product and I still have chametz in my house and I still have elements of chametz that I couldn't clean out yet and there's still elements of servitude that I have not yet been able to be freed from and there's still elements of gimgum and bilbul hadibur and diburim shel sheker and Diburim Ra'im and Lashon Hara, God forbid, that still remains on a person's tongue in one way or another, language of negativity. I'm still not yet able to open my mouth. I'm still not yet able to say I'm clean from chametz. I'm still not yet able to say I'm tahor. But you know what? Upasak be'emsa inyan velo gila yoser. Because in the beginning, all things started from Pesach. But now, v'achshav, dat, 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 v'lo siyim. And all of the tzaddikim say that what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that from now, it starts from Purim. It starts from Purim. Ah, why does he write it as v'achshav? Because Purim is v'achshav. Purim is the recognition that right here, right now, right here, right now, as I am, coming as I am, emerging as I am, with the desire to clean myself from all things, the revelation of the truest desire at the heart of every yid, which is to be tahor from tumas misa, and naki from chametz, with birurim of diburim zachim, of a clarified speech, of a purity from death. That's the ikra desire, but the fact that I'm not there yet, that's not going to prevent me from entering into avodas Hashem. That's not going to prevent me from standing right here, asher loy kedas, not called in by a kadosh baruch hu, but like Esther Malka saying, kasher avadati, avadati. If I wait, I'll never have anything. If I wait to be ready, I will never be ready, and therefore I have to enter in unready. I have to demand that a kadosh baruch hu see me as I am. The sicker we are, the more we rush past the gatekeepers, the more we rush past the secretaries, kavyachol, who say that the doctor is not ready yet. Yashar, yashar, there's no shir on Purim, as Rafutner points out. A person on Purim, then moichin of starting from Purim is a l'chatchila ariber. from Pesach, I have to get over this, and I have to get under here, and I have to move around in order to be a Pesach Yid. Purim is, forget all of that. It's Chushim Ben Dan, who's not willing to hear anything. He's just going to kill Esav. He's going to knock the head off of Esav. He's not willing to hear any arguments. It's Tekef Umiyad Mamish. The Or of Purim is starting from where a person is at. V'achshav, and right now, V'losiyem. I'm an unfinished product. I'm unrefined. I have all of my lichluch, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, none of that comes anywhere near even the slightest point that would make me feel that I can't connect to you right here, right now, because your love for me is independent of all things, and my love for you is independent of all things. Hadar Kiblu B'mei HaShverosh, specifically in the time of the Nesira, where we're disconnected theoretically from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Or Mufla Remala of Purim is that you are as deeply connected, if not more than you are, when you actually feel connected. In the silence of the mind, in the natural disappointments that come about on a Purim day. And we live in a year of Purim and a life of Purim, and we're waiting for Mashiach Tzidkenu, for Mordechai Tzadik, for Esther Amalka, for the Kriyas HaMegillah, which is the Oros of Geula itself. And the Koyach that we have in that place is to start from where we're at. To always want to be Pesach Yidin, but to realize that the only way to get there is to start from Purim. V'achshav. Independent of all things, with my Tumas Misa, with my Chametz, with my Bilbul HaDibur, with my avdus, all of those things are there. They need to be worked on. They need to be addressed, but not without the radical self-acceptance that comes about that entering into the Melech Asher Loi Kedas without the proper permission. The secretary is saying you don't have an appointment. You're maluchlach. You're not able to enter into there. You don't have a right to look at these books. You don't have a right to feel this connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have a right to utilize the radical nuclear power of faith in such a way. You haven't done all of the preparatory stages for Pesach. But there comes about a time of the achshav, which is right now, hayoim, 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 and b'kolu tishmou, where we say we're not waiting. We understand we should be Pesach Yidden, we'll get there. We know your books. We know what your tzaddikim told us already. We're the deepest Pesach Yidden available. And because we know that, we can become Purim Yidden, which is the ability to break on through to the other side without any preparation necessary. U'bachein yavo al ha-melech. U'bachein yavo al ha-melech asher lo kedas, without being called. And it's specifically with that awareness of Keli, Keli, Lama, Azavtani, Rabbeinu Shalom, I can't be Pesach anymore. I can't be it. It's too hard to clarify myself from Tumas Misa in a world of Misa, to clean my house from Chametz when Chametz is all that seems to exist, to free myself from servitude when all I am is a servant, to speak clearly when all there is the self-assertion of the self. How could it possibly be? Keili, keili, lama azavtani. As Esther Malka enters into the Beis HaTzlamim, as she's willing to sacrifice herself, to no longer even try and be a Pesach Yid, but to own the reality of being a Purim Yid. And in that place, Esther Malka makes a Tanai, kasha avadati, avadati. I have lost it. Bein kachu, bein kach, I've got nothing. I will never be a Pesach Yid. I will never be a Pesach yet. I can't. It's too hard. The irreducible stains of the self are too irreducible. They can't be gotten rid of. I'm born, and as a result of being born, I am marked by a particular deficiency, which, as we know, is not rooted in human nature, but rather the nature of the divine. The fact that I am not God. Mamela, I will never become perfect. I will never become a Pesach yet. The only way to do this is to start from the achshav. This is the secret of the bittul of chametz that a person does by bir chametz when we're really being makusha ourselves to the sudas purim, which is the revelation that really, even though I couldn't get rid of all of the chametz, kol chamira v'chamira de'ikah b'rishusi, nevertheless, there's always going to be chametz, and I have to learn how to accept that and how that can be mevutul berov, which is the secret of adar. But to be a purim yid means to start from right now. And Rabbi Nassim himself says this. Rabbi Nassim writes in Likutei Halachos, Birchas Areach, Halacha Dalet Reis Chafei, Ki Achshav Ha'aschala Shel Geula Va'atikun Shel Kol Ha'olamos U'Mipurim. That now, even though Rabbi Nachman himself did not say it, now the beginning and the redemption of all things and the rectification of all worlds comes specifically from Purim. Kamo Shemuvan Meirim Zei Diburav HaKadoshim Shal Rabbeinu. As it was revealed in the hidden words of Rabbi Nachman, Be'esha Amar HaTorah Al HaPasuk, in the moment that he said Torah on the Pasuk, Mimitzrayim v'lo yireu p'nei reikam, like we said, which is Rosh HaTevos Purim. That original orientation of that dependent relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that I can't come empty-handed. Because Purim is the secret of Matan L'Slav Yonim, of coming dafka empty-handed. Pesach, starting from Pesach, is you don't start empty-handed. Starting from Purim is I start dafka empty-handed. Kidal v'ani ani, I'm impoverished, I have nothing of my own, below das. Because Rabbi Nachman said that at that point all of the beginnings come from Pesach, Shu Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the redemption from Mitzrayim, the purification of death, the removal of chametz, the opening of the mouth in a purified way, and the removal from any servitude. Ve'achshav v'chule, and now dot 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 velosiim, which, like we said, is the light of Purim, to be Achdi Achashverosh Hanan, but to nevertheless believe in the Geula of Purim. And as Rafutner says, even though we know Purim's aura will die the next day, nevertheless, to realize that there is a humble light of Purim that persists, and the Roshim of Purim persists ad infinitum, bringing us now to all of the Amim Tovim. That Rabbi Nachman didn't finish. Upasak ba'emsa v'lo siyam advarav. He ended in the middle, and he didn't reveal the end of his words. U'betoch devarav hevanti, says Rabbi Nachman. But from within his words, I understood she'achshav, that now, ha'aschala mipurim shu mechias amalek shu ikr ha'geula shel Mashiach. And now all beginnings begin with the erasal of Amalek, which is the ikr and the essential revelation of Mashiach and the redemption itself. Mechias Amalek starts when a person decides to overcome Amalek. It's only in the Hiskabrus Hapnimi, over the Safik Hapnimi, that a person can be Miskaber from within Amalek, within themselves, and that's the place of Purim. Ad de lo yada, b'chein yavo el Amalech. To get rid, to scrub away that stain of existence, to transform the Kalim of Amalek into a place of revelation, coming to the recognition that even Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're there, and Memeli is part of the Kopalei Oven. To start from my Chametz, my Amalek, my Nekudos of Safik, to start from there to be Moichet from within. I no longer have to wait in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from wherever I am, and then I will naturally come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This secret of Purim, this secret of the lights of Purim, as Rabbi Nachman said, the depths of all depths that he was unable to reveal, and he was bothered by the fact that he revealed what he revealed, and he ultimately said that, nevertheless, I'm okay, because ultimately what I revealed is no revelation whatsoever, and its connection to the machlokas of Korach and Moshe, that Moshe to a certain degree represented the Pesach mindset. Korach represents a Purim mindset, which is why Korach is Sofei Tevos, Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach, that the Tzadik will grow specifically from within the Tamura, from within the changes. And the birur that Rabbi Nachman was involved in with that neshama of Korach and rectifying that imbalance and balancing out the process of Hashem loving us independently and dependently, that process gives birth to Rabbi Nachman's teaching to us that it now begins with Purim. It now begins with Va'achshav. It now begins with Hayom. And what it means is that all beginnings started with Pesach once meant that in order to find Hashem, I had to be ready. I had to be deserving. I had to be worthy. I had to know why I'm doing this. I had to be able to prove it. I had to show receipts. And now at this point, when all things begin from Purim, every day, every moment of the mind begins again from Purim, from Purim, from Purim, the Vigam, 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 adding, adding, adding every element of our lives into the extended secrets of the elasticity of faith and connectivity that excludes absolutely nothing. No part of the self is excluded. The secret of the Ketairos, of Ad Lo Yada, of even the Arahaman being Baruch. That Meichen of Purim comes from the place of Rabbanu Shleilam, if I wait any longer, I will not be able to last. And therefore, I am going to begin now. I am going to begin now. I am going to begin now. I am going to begin right now, independent of what anybody else says, and most importantly, independent of what I say, to live with the Das of Moshe, of Mordechai, who was the Ya'avor Mordechai. That Mordechai was willing to break it in order to save the Jewish people, just as Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos to save the Jewish people. Just as Rabbi Nachman descended down into those places of potential hopelessness to reveal the true secret of there's no such thing as hopelessness. And as the generation, or as Zeicha, to understand the words of Rabbi Nachman, to have tzaddikim in our generation who give us a light of that Nachal Nevar Makor Chochma, the tzaddikim amitim and the talmidim amitim of the tzaddik emes, the Tzadikim Achayim, the Yud Tachton and the Yud Elyon, the Rabbi Nassan, the Moshe and the Yoshua, ultimately what that gives us access to is to start from Purim, to be okay with being okay with ourselves and then to grow. So many people are afraid of beginning from Purim because the assumption is if I'm okay with myself, then I'll destroy more. But that's a PTSD, that's a conditioning. What we have to believe is that there's an innermost point of goodness within ourselves. And when we remove the external exposures to things that will by definition naturally bring me down, the natural tendency of the soul is to fly, is to float. And that learning the secret of starting from Purim is not going to lead to more Bahala, but rather it's going to lead to accepting myself to properly go back to Pesach. To go back to Pesach with the seriousness, but with the laughter at the heart of the seriousness, with the Purim at the heart of Pesach. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should be Zoicha, as Rabbi Nassim said, to the Geula al Yedei Purim itself. The Or of the Geula of Mashiach, when we're Moicha Amalek Memela, we just erase it. Why is Amalek gone? Because I said it's gone. There's no Amalek. Ah, there's another Nekudah of Amalek. It's gone. Erased, 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 erased. That's what we do in Zohar. We read it twice. We try and read it and we realize, oh, we don't know how to read it. We're still in doubt. Amalek, you're still here. I read it again. Like Hushim Ben Dan, who doesn't care about anything. Hushim Ben Dan, that deafness, that Mikra HaMegillah, awakening ourselves specifically in the darkness where all we can do is hear what we can't hear. The secret of Aleph Dar, the secret of the Alufa Shel Olam, which is here, which breaks the Edom, the Aleph Dom, which silences the Aleph. That deafness that breaks open with the sound, with the Kol HaPnimi, the shofar of the Megillah itself. And like Chushim Ben Dan, Dan is Gematria 54, the 54 words of Alanisim, the 54 times that Haman HaMalek is referenced in the Megillah. Dan Anochi, to not wait anymore, to just pick up the lost objects like Shevet Dan and say, I don't care if I was kicked out of the cloud. I don't care if I was dispelled for all of the things that I've done. Nevertheless, I'm going to continue to do the next right thing. I'm going to continue to make Purim right here, right now, and to draw down the Moichin of Ad L'Yada Ben Araham and the Baruch Mordechai, and to be compassionate to myself, to begin from where I'm at, and from there to see the growth as something that is completely uncontingent. Not dependent on anything other than the inherent connection that I have and the wondrous, wondrous lottery that we have won to be Nikra Yidden, to have Nishmas Yisrael Be'ezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.